Hello, Bobbles Nation.
And beyond.
And beyond. We would like to cordially welcome you to the first ever podcast of Bobbles After Dark. Hooray!
I would hit the applause button in our recorder if I knew where it was.
I can do it.
If you can hear it, it's applause. It sounds like white noise.
Well, in any case, we are here. We are so excited to come to you with this podcast. We have a lot to say, sometimes too much to say, about all that is fashion, entrepreneurship. What else?
Fun shit.
Just fun shit, right? So, without any further ado, let's jump right into it. So, we are talking about what our first podcast should be today.
Well, like, let's introduce ourselves so that people don't know us.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Hi. You go first.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Michaela Giorgio. I'm the Vice President of Bobbles and Lace, and I'm super excited to be here. We have a lot of cool stuff planned. We're going to have tons of special guests. We're here to learn together, laugh together.
Cry together.
Maybe we'll cry. We don't know. We kind of have this weird thing where we make people cry. Like, often. And we never mean to.
Don't mean to. In the best way. Not like, you hurt my feelings.
Right. Cry. No, not like you're a bitch.
No.
More like, oh my God, I feel so much. Thank you. Crying in appreciation.
Now, tell me three things about yourself that perhaps people don't know and maybe I don't even know.
Oh, that you don't even know?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that you don't even know? That's hard, because I feel like we know each other so well.
You have to do it.
Okay. Things you don't know about me. That's a really tough question. Let me just start with some things about me, and then maybe some surprises will, like, come up.
Okay.
I'm a twin, which you know, but I feel like a lot of people don't know. I have a twin brother. Maybe someday he'll be on the podcast. I don't know. I think he could be an interesting interview. His name is Lewis, and we had a pet.
No, wait, don't talk about it. That could be a future question.
Okay. Okay, I won't talk about it. I won't talk about any of our pets. I live in Saugus in an apartment complex where everybody is probably 80 years or older and all Italian. I went home yesterday, actually. I got new bedroom furniture. And I got home yesterday, and a bunch of the old ladies, 6:30 at night, were in their bathrobes, like, gossiping in the halls.
Oh, geez.
And they were like, oh my God, Michelina. That's what they think my name is.
You can never correct them.
No, I would never.
No.
Are you moving? We saw a moving truck. And I was like, oh no, I got a new bedroom set.
Did you show them?
They want to come see it. I was like, when my room is done, you can.
You got to give them the full tour.
But I'm nervous. I painted two walls of my bedroom black, and I don't know if my landlord's going to, like, care.
No, you won't care. It's very cool. We painted it raccoon fur. For those of you wondering, raccoon fur is the only shade of black that we love. And there's at least one thing painted Benjamin Moore raccoon fur. So there you go. If you're looking for a good black, you're welcome.
Yeah. You do know this, but I am obsessed with Bobbles and Lace and always have been. And all of my bedrooms since I started shopping at Bobbles and Lace have been decorated. Like a Bobbles and Lace. So, like, when I was in high school, college-ish, I had, like, a light pink room with Audrey Hepburn black and white stuff. I'm such a dork.
Did you have gumballs in a jar?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't go that far. But it was, like, that super soft pale pink, like a little shabby chic, a little glam. And now it's raccoon fur.
So. When we first started, we had at every store, we had a big jar with pink gumballs. And it was kind of a thing, but after a while, I got a little skeeved out by it with all the hands in there, so we got rid of the gumballs. But I think one of the jars actually lives in Sam's office still, so.
I don't like crunchy gum, so I'll never have a gumball.
Well, there you go.
Ugh.
But I didn't know that. That's one of them.
But I've had friends start it for me. If I'm in a desperate situation, I'll have a friend start, get rid of the crunch, and then I'll take it.
Oh, wow. I do that for you.
I know. I would accept it also. Okay. I mean, it's not just like everybody, but I don't like crunchy gum.
All right, there you go. So listen, if you're looking to send us goodies as your favorite podcasters, let it not be crunchy gum unless it's pre-chewed.
I'll take pre-chewed gum. I'll take.
You know what's very interesting that I was thinking about is your bedroom and how people died in it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I moved into my apartment 3 years ago now, which is wild because I move every year. I'm like not good at sitting still. Because I like to redecorate, essentially. But I've been in my apartment for 3 years, and one day I'm sitting by the pool reading a book, and this woman comes up to me She's like, oh, you're new here. Where do you live, honey? What unit number? Because everyone there owns, actually. I'm like one of the only renters. And I was like, oh, I'm in 213, actually. Which, like, also sounds kind of creepy now that I'm telling the story. And she's like, oh, no, not 213, honey. I'm like, tell me why. She's like, the last three people that lived there died in the bedroom.
Three.
But that's, like, good. If you're Italian, that's good. Three is, like, completion. Like, I'm all set. Bad things happen in threes. Well, now it's been 3 years and now we're back. 3 years and I haven't died.
So you're good, because then three more people would have to die in there to complete the circle again.
Right, but now that the 3 years is up, am I going to die? Like, do I have to move?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Let go, let God.
Yeah. Anyway, my bedroom is haunted. For anyone that, like, one night I was laying in my bed and someone blew on my face. Just like that. So my bedroom is haunted. I don't like crunchy gum, and I have a twin brother.
So who wants to sleep over Michaela's?
Yeah, sleep over at my house.
Freaking no
we'll
one.
Play with the Ouija board.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Not okay, what are three surprising facts about you, Lindsay? Maybe that I don't know, or just, like, might surprise people who think they know you.
Okay. I'm a big dork.
Mm-hmm. That was very surprising to me.
I love dorky things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, secretly, I am dying to learn how to play Dungeons & Dragons. I think I would love it, and I think I'd be great at it.
Yeah, I think the business would take a backseat.
Yeah, like, I love Comic-Con, like, into it.
Okay.
Yeah, total nerd.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
Yeah.
In the best way. In a very cool way.
I'm legally blind.
No, you're not.
Yeah. You knew that, didn't you?
I had no idea.
My vision is so bad that I am technically legally blind. So when I wake up in the morning, my contacts are ridiculous and glasses. They're like...
Coke bottles.
Wait. Like Topo Chico. I'm like, come on.
I love it. Would you ever get the surgery? Like the LASIK?
Never.
So my mom was legally blind and she got it and she got the lenses put in and she said it's like life changing.
Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
So no touching the eyes.
Nope.
No, not doing that.
Great.
What else can I tell you? I don't know. I have a freckle on my arm that grows an extremely long hair.
I want to talk about the itchy spot.
Oh, I have an itchy spot. Mm-hmm. So somehow I was born with a spot on my back that's always incredibly itchy and I can't reach it.
Mm-hmm. Tell them when it itches. And this is terrible.
It itches.
Right now.
It itches when I laugh a lot. So when I cough or sneeze or anything to do with like lungs, like movement in lungs.
Just pretty much just being alive.
Being alive. So today it's so pollen infested, you can see it in the air. My itchy spot is wild.
Yeah.
So come to find out a few months ago, I've asked my doctor about it. They said, oh, you're fine. You're crazy.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and it's actually a condition. It's a real condition that like it's a chronic nerve itchy spot, typically on the corner of your scapula, this bone in the back?
Yeah. We thought it was a leaky lung. So I'm glad to hear it's just a condition.
I thought it was like a balloon letting air out. And it was okay. Well, let's bring this somehow full circle.
Right, because we could talk about her conditions all day.
We could tangent all day. But let's talk a little bit of fashion. So we really hope to bring in some fashion experts.
Yes. Other than us.
If there's anyone as expert as us.
Right.
And also, we want to talk fashion.
Yeah.
And what's cool and what's fine.
Okay, well, let's kick it off. Look, what are you hating in summer fashion?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you loving? Like, trends this year. Like, what needs to go?
Okay, I'm loving the black and white this season. So much graphic black and white.
Like 90s model black and white.
I'm into it, that like modern sharp aesthetic, which I kind of always do, but this summer made it acceptable to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm honestly not a fan of summer fashion, and I'm kind of dreading the... flowy prettiness of the summer, because I'm kind of it's not really my vibe.
A funny joke that we have here in the warehouse, like, we know how much Lindsay hates summer, because when we receive our inventory, like, we don't really have much in the back, but when fall comes, we have so many pallets of inventory that we're drowning in sweaters and jeans and blazers. So we know, you don't have to say it,
summer's a struggle for me, and personally I won't wear shorts.
You have the best legs, so it's always so surprising to me.
Well, not, that's my ick.
Shorts are your ick. I'm in shorts right now. Am I giving you the ick?
No, on me.
Okay.
Myself. I put them on, I'm like, where are my pant legs? This is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's stupid. Where's my pant legs?
I get it.
It's dumb.
You even try to do long shorts and it doesn't always work.
Dumb.
Okay.
I mean, a skirt, a mini skirt makes sense to me. But uh-huh. Like two holes and you're, I'm not down.
Okay.
What's your summer ick?
The male flip-flop. I'll never get behind it.
No one will get behind it.
I know. I know that's a popular opinion, but like that is my true ick.
Yeah, it's bad.
But I guess in women's fashion, I feel like it's having a great outfit and a dirty flip-flop.
Oh,
like, you know, like that Old Navy flip-flop. And then, like, someone has, like, a pretty okay outfit on. They put
rubber. Down, right? The rubber.
The rubber. So that's a shower shoe.
It's what you wear in college in the shower.
Right. So you don't get athlete's foot.
Correct.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Yeah.
I do actually think that the shoe dictates the outfit. So mm-hmm. I can wear a sweat set, put on a good shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And people always ask, oh, God, this is another pet peeve of mine. I live in a 3-inch plus heel. So my flat is, like, a 2.5-inch heel. That's right. That's my sneaker.
Right.
Right. So my... people love to ask me, how do you wear those all day?
Ugh. That's the worst.
If I had a shot for every time someone said that, I would be
dead.
I'd be dead with cirrhosis in a minute.
For sure.
Dead.
I get that too.
Yeah. You just do.
Right. You just suck it up to look good.
It's worth it.
100%.
Fashion is not comfortable. Truly. It's not comfortable.
No.
So let me tell you, the second I get home, there's a few things I do. Shoes go off. Bra goes off.
Yes. If we're wearing a bra.
Wash your face. Take off the jewelry. I mean, it's not comfortable to wear fashion. It's truly not. And, you know, listen, there are sometimes you can... a fashionable and comfortable piece will walk into your life. But for the most part, being a woman is very painful.
It is.
You gotta get lasered. You gotta get zapped. You gotta wear a bra. Like, it's not comfortable.
No.
And sometimes I wonder, is there going to be a time where I can truly let go and just...
No. But hot take. Don't.
But the answer is no.
Like, it feels so good to be told, you look so good for your age, mm-hmm. or you're stunning, or all of the compliments that we get all the time walking through the airport. Like, I just don't... I think mm-hmm. it's great when people do the whole red carpet, no makeup look, like... Alicia Keys looks fantastic that way. I don't want to do that. I love makeup.
It feels good to look good.
It
feels good
feeling.
To look good. Truly, truly. What do you say we get into some of our... So what we did is, for our first podcast, I thought what would be kind of fun, and you know I love a game. I love a game.
Yeah, that's another Lindsay Miranda fact.
I love a game, and I hate to lose.
So this isn't a losing. This is not a win or lose.
This is not. There's no winner to this game.
Yeah.
Although I secretly hope my questions are better than hers.
I don't know. I bet
your questions are good.
I think they are.
So I said, Michaela, why don't you write me 5 questions?
Yeah.
And she wanted to cheat, and she said, let me see your questions. And I said, no.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, do you want me to ask you mine first? Do you want to pick them randomly?
Yeah, I want you to hold one up.
Okay, I'm going to go like this, like a deck of cards, and you can pick one.
All right. Are we ready?
Okay.
I have no clue what these say. Okay. What do you love most about owning Bobbles and Lace? Oh, God, this is hard.
I feel like that's the easiest one to start with.
Okay. What I love most is I never feel like I'm working. It's become my life. Like, my life is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people have different versions of themselves, where it's their, you know, who they are at work and who they are at play and who they were, and they leave their job and they clock out and they start their new version of themselves. For me, I am 100%. My life is it, and they're 100% intertwined. My family goes to the openings.
Yeah.
You know, my husband works with the company. Like, my life is so embedded in it that it doesn't feel like work ever, ever, ever. And it's there's nothing more fun than fashion. Truly.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
That's true.
I love what I do. So my favorite thing about Bobbles is that I wake up in the morning and I'm never, oh, I got to get to work today. I don't have that.
So many people don't have that.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
I appreciate the fact that I have that. And I'm aware that not everybody has that.
But also, like, kudos for you for going out and doing that to yourself. Like, cheers to that. A lot of people won't take the leap and won't do it. Even with podcasting, this was an idea 2 days ago, 48 hours ago. Lindsay's like, oh yeah, we're just going to do it. Ordering it right now. We're going to figure it out. It'll be fine. So what's really cool about you is you go after what you want and you just like make the decision and you do it.
Yeah. And there's not a ton of planning sometimes. You start small and you grow it. And listen, people may hear this and say, those bitches, I'm never listening again. But I mean, I know you're not.
Right. So loss. I mean, you're lost at that.
Okay. You ready for your question?
I feel like her questions are going to be weird and I'm nervous.
Oh God.
Okay. Which?
She can't read my writing.
No.
Okay. My
Which Sex and the City character do you?
Let me read it. Let me read it. No one can read my writing.
I can't read it. Here, it's beautiful, but it's like.
It's graffiti.
Exactly.
Right. Which Sex and the City character do you assimilate with, both fashion and personality?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Fashion-wise, I do feel like I kind of dress like Samantha. Yeah, I just do. Like, I'm either a little bit slutty, or I'm pretty professional. Like, I feel like that's kind of like my wardrobe. I'm not as creative as Carrie, as much as I want to be. I'm certainly not as preppy as Charlotte, and I'm not as, like...
You're slutty profesh.
Yeah. I'm a slutty professional.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my style.
What about personality?
Personality? Probably Miranda.
Oh, yeah. Just like kind of. If you said anything else, I would have corrected you.
Yeah, probably Miranda. I'm pretty real, pretty sarcastic. I'm going to be honest. I can't help it. Definitely. I'm not
focused,
as self-involved.
Career-oriented.
Totally. Driven.
Yeah.
I can hinge towards negative, I think. I might be more positive than Miranda, though.
I think so.
I think I like Charlotte's positivity.
At least today.
Yeah, today. Tomorrow, we don't know.
Yeah. Yesterday, we had to air you out.
Yeah. Lindsay literally had to take me out.
I did. Our offices are in the back, and they're really dark. We have no natural light back here. Yeah. And I was like, you're in a mood. I'll get in my car. I'm going to first run some errands. I mean,
yeah. Sean and fizzy water, and we were better.
I hydrated you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. All right. Top three celebrity crushes. Okay. So my first celebrity crush is probably going to be, obviously, Victoria Beckham. Duh.
Okay. We're going girls. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, we're going. Okay. I was going.
Do it. I want you to go whatever direction you want to.
First one's Victoria Beckham for obvious reasons. I love that she has stayed relevant since the Spice Girls. And to take it from Spice Girls to what is now her, like, VB collection is truly remarkable. I think staying relevant as any type of public figure, let alone fashion, which is ever-evolving, is truly, truly amazing. And she manages to hit it every single time. I love it. It's sexy, it's classic, it's modern, it's all the things that I want to be and emulate. So that's one. So I didn't realize we're going in this direction.
Well, whatever direction you want.
Well, obviously it's going to be Jason Momoa, but as the call.
Okay.
If we're talking pure sex factor.
Yeah, like, we are.
I like him dirty and muscular.
Manly.
So.
We don't want to even a whiff of femininity.
No. I want man.
Okay, I like
which is
it.
Great. I married a man, so there you go.
It's
true. So don't get mad when you listen to
that. Long hair, tattoos. He's a guy.
He's a guy. Yeah. Dirty hands.
Yep.
Dirty, big, muscular. So there's that.
Yeah.
And let me think. My third celebrity crush. I think I'm gonna go. I'm stumped on the last one. I'm sorry. I can't give
really?
It to you. I can't give it to you.
Not even, like, anyone from Game of Thrones.
No, that was Game of Thrones. The Call.
Oh, I don't...
I already did that one.
I feel like you like the guy from The Bear.
Oh, who doesn't love the guy from The Bear?
I don't know. I know Jeremy Allen, is that his name?
Yeah.
And the Calvin Klein ad.
I mean, drool.
Yeah.
Wipe that drool
right
out.
I heard, like, Ugly Hot is very in right now.
Although, did you see the... there was a post that he looks just like... The main character of Willy Wonka.
Yeah, he does. I feel like they're related.
Completely, completely related.
I think they have to be. Yeah. It has to be his grandfather. They look way too much alike.
Uh-huh.
Nepotism.
Nepotism, baby.
Oh, just as a fun fact, too, Lindsay's not a Nepo baby. When I started working...
Do people think I am?
They do. When I started working here, so many people asked me, where did she get all her money?
What?
Constantly. And sometimes I still get it.
That's
they
unbelievable
really don't...
to me. You know,
talk about that.
You know what it is? It's that it's. I'm going to talk a little feminism now, so bear with me for just a second.
Here we go.
Here we go. So anytime that a female is successful, why is it that they have to be successful? Because of the man or their parents that gave them money. It's unbelievable to me. And, you know, people say, oh, well, that doesn't exist nowadays. Sexism doesn't exist. I'm like, are you crazy? Of course it exists. I was doing an employee review over at Starbucks and whatever. Employee left. It's fine. A gentleman came up to me and said, oh, what's your business over here? What are you guys doing? Oh, how cute. You're running a business. Like, can you, if I was a man in a suit, he would never have approached me.
Right.
So to any women in business or any women who carries themselves in a certain way,
yeah.
it's people don't believe that it's because of how hard you worked. It's unbelievable to me.
Never. It's never that. Mm-mm. It's always who you married.
For sure. And as far as we've come, we have a very long way to go.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to bring that up.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
But like circling back to celebrities.
Oh, God.
Have you ever come close to like making out with a celebrity?
Oh, my God.
For Derek, I'll talk about making out. But we all know what I mean.
But you know, I did actually, when I was living in London, which is so cool.
She said she's a dork, but she lived in London.
I was a dork. I went on a full scholarship because I was really academic. I went on a Rotary Scholarship of Goodwill. So thank you, Rotary Club. So yes, I was in London. It was sexy and hot, but I was an ambassador of Goodwill.
I didn't know that.
Yeah!
I love it. Lindsay Mando, ambassador of Goodwill.
Yeah, I had to go and like make speeches around all different Rotary clubs to...
What did you talk?
Oh my God. That's a whole nother story.
Okay, we'll do that on another show.
Yeah, I'm a geek. I'm really... So we went to a play in London and it was Trey from... Sex and the City keeps coming up, but Trey from Sex and the City, if you don't know his real name. And Woody Harrelson. And so after the show,
He's one of my celebrity crushes.
Woody Harrelson?
Yes. I think he's so hot.
You do?
I know, it's weird. From Will and Grace. Like, his character, I don't know.
All right.
I think he's sexy.
I'll let you have it.
Great.
So we went backstage, and we were like, let's try and get their autograph. Me and my girlfriends. And he comes out. And he said, you are so great. You should go come out for drinks with us. And he's like, can't tonight. Maybe another night. So my girlfriend wrote our flat number on a piece of paper and left, and we giggled the whole way home. We thought it was hysterical.
It is.
So the next night, my phone rings. I answer it, and it's a woman, and she says, "Hello, I'm Woody Harrelson's secretary. He'd like to know if you'd like to join him out tonight."
I'm dead.
And so obviously, yeah. I'm thinking it's a joke because
yeah.
That stuff doesn't really happen. So
no.
I think it's my friend, and I laugh at
girls from Boston.
And I say, nice one. You got me. You got me, Woody.
Yeah.
Hung up, and then I called my friend. I said, that was really good. Clever. And she said, what are you talking about? It actually was Woody Harrelson's secretary. So
that's unbelievable. I wonder what if you guys ended up together?
No, it wouldn't have been me.
You don't think. Lens. She acts like she's some gross dork.
I am.
She's not.
So that's the story.
That's a fun story.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I love how her paper, this just says it all. Your papers are cut like perfectly.
Yeah, I ripped them.
Squares, ripped them. And mine are like all different sizes on the back.
Colors.
Scrap paper.
Ooh, I got two.
All right, read the better one.
Ooh, okay, there's two. Let me see what I like better. I already answered that.
Okay.
Who is Lewis? Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, I have a twin brother named Lewis. And, like, obviously the point, or, like, one of the points of having a twin, I think, is torture. So, it was our home Father's Day, and it was like 20 years ago, over 20 years ago. And we were getting my grandfather a pet parakeet. Because, like, my dad had parakeets growing up, and... We thought it was just a great gift for, like, he was retired. Whatever, it doesn't matter. And we're at the pet store, and my dad's like, okay, Lewis and Michaela, like, you each can pick out your own bird. And we had never had any pets. Like, not a fish.
Have I had a dog before that?
Nope. No. There were zero pets in my mother's pristine house.
That's unbelievable.
Not.
Continue.
So, I'm like, Dad, Mom's gonna kill us. I don't feel good about it. And Lewis's like, we're doing it. I'm like, all right, fine. So Lewis picks out a bird, and it's yellow, and he names it Jakey, because my dad had a yellow parakeet named Jakey. Like,
so brown noser.
Such a brown noser. And so I picked a blue one, and I'm like, oh, what do you want to name it? And I was like, Lewis, obviously. And of course, he's like, can't name it blue and Kayla. Can't do that. And like, obviously, I laughed all the way home. And like, I had the smarter bird, the bird that would chill on your shoulder. And then
Jakey sucked.
Jakey sucked. Jakey died early. Rest in peace. But then our cleaning lady ended up adopting Lewis because she had a bird at home. And then Lewis had babies.
Lewis had babies?
Lewis is a girl. So
that's great.
Yeah, the next project for me and Lindsay is writing a children's book about Lewis, I think. She'll do illustrations, I'll do writing.
Yeah, we've it all planned out. It's going to be fantastic. Does he know that I refer to him as Lewis still?
No, he has no idea.
Okay, well, he's going to know soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you ever come to the podcast? No, it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. What is something you're excited to experience in the future, Biennale or not? Oh, this is a good one.
Mm-hmm. It's a thinker.
I'll share too.
Especially because she doesn't think about the future.
No.
She's for sure the creative director, and I'm for sure, like, the operations. Because I'm like, what's the 5-year plan? What mountain am I climbing? And she's like, we'll figure it out. I guess now it's a podcast, so.
Exactly. As of Tuesday.
Yeah.
As of Tuesday. All right. So something I'm excited to experience in the BNL near future is I'd love to be on the West Coast. Mm. So, you know, I guess it's really hard to, once you get rocking and rolling, to really take the time to feel, look back and say, be proud. I have this weird thing where I'm never quite there. I'm like, okay, but what's next? Okay, but what's next? So maybe that's something I'm sick in the head about, is that I can't ever be satisfied with the now. It's always what is coming and what is next.
Well, do you think it's like, is it a conversation within yourself of like still not feeling like you're enough, or is it more excitement and hunger because you've accomplished so much?
I can't quite pinpoint it. I love therapy, you know, hello therapy. I love you. But it's an illness. I think it's an entrepreneurial illness where it just can't be ever happy enough with what it is. It's what can be next. Okay, right. I did this. What's next?
But that's also a really great quality in leadership.
For sure. But personally,
right.
It sucks.
Right.
It sucks.
Right.
But I think this is, I think a lot of entrepreneurs have this gene, this inability to be satisfied. And I think it's what drives the brand. So let's just
we're going with it.
We're just going to go with it. We like Lindsay's unsatisfactory brain.
It's the best.
So, but I, because I started so long ago in California, a gazillion years ago, for me to bring it full circle and to have a store on the West Coast, I think would be really amazing. Really amazing, because we started, this is over 20 years ago. In downtown LA with a tiny plastic push cart. Yeah. So to bring it back all this time to now have, we have 19 stores now and growing across the country, to really go back to where it began, I think would be a really exciting moment for me personally.
And so I know some people know that story, but I think for those who don't, it's really interesting, especially for people who are aspiring to follow their dreams, whether that be business ownership or not, or just like perhaps a small idea they have. Can you go back and just talk about the beginning?
Yeah. And you've heard the story a million times, so I'm sorry.
But I think it's so helpful to people. Like, I'm not tired of hearing it ever.
Okay, good. Because you're going to hear it again.
Okay,
great. So I was living in downtown LA at the time in a loft. It sounds very sexy. My husband's a musician, so he was gigging about. I was doing some styling, doing some commercials. You may catch me on a Con Air ad. Go curly, go straight. But in any case.
I love it so much.
Yeah, I got to find them. I have to find them. We'll find it, and it's going to be hysterical. And I said, you know, I don't love this unpredictability of where my paycheck is going to come from. You just don't know in that industry. It's really difficult. So I didn't want to be a server. I said, what can I do that's going to give me consistent revenue that's mine that I can control. So at the time, my aunt actually had a cart in on Newbury Street. She would do something like a really cool push cart thing on Newbury Street. So I said, "How'd you do that? Where'd you start? Da 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 da." And it gave me the idea to build my own push cart in downtown LA. Mm. Now, it's my belief that when starting an idea, I think it's really smart to start small. Yeah. Here we are in my office on janky podcast mics and stuff.
I don't know anything about this is janky, but we're not like in a studio.
Not in a studio. I spent $400 on Amazon, and here we are. Maybe someday we'll have a studio.
Yeah.
But for now, we have an idea, and we're running with it and starting small and building from there.
For sure.
So that's kind of the mindset that I took. It's also the mindset I had to take because I didn't have anything. We're living paycheck to... What is it?
Hand to mouth or paycheck to paycheck. Yeah.
Not foot and mouth because that's a disease. We're running hands to mouth.
Yes.
So I built this push cart from Sears. It's so weird. I remember I bought it from Sears. It's very weird. I remember the day I bought it. It's a white plastic bar cart and it had a hole in the center where you could put an umbrella.
So like a bar cart? Like I'm imagining like a thing you buy slush out of.
Yeah. No, but it was like literally.
Like a table.
Yeah. It's like a little table with a hole in the center so you can put an umbrella in it. So then I bought an umbrella. There was no Amazon at the time, so I don't know where I found it. I found an umbrella.
On the street?
Yeah, stuck it in the middle, and then I spray painted it. I made up a logo, which, by the way, was called Iconic Accessories. I was capitalized, dot, conic, which not
I
so...
love it. No, it's not terrible.
Not terrible.
I mean, it's no bottles and lace.
No, no. Good. I spray painted it black, and then did the Iconic in white.
Of course. What else?
Duh. Mm-hmm. So the whole cart cost me about $50 to make in total. Mm-hmm. And I thought, now I got to sell stuff.
What am I going to buy? I'm going to get my $50 back.
Right. So I took $70 and I lived in the wholesale district of Los Angeles and I bought $70 worth of jewelry. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just 70 wholesale.
Yeah.
Which was not a lot.
Right. No, totally.
So I decorated my cart and lunchtime came in downtown LA.
Yeah.
Which there's a lot of financial buildings there. Mm-hmm. And I pushed this little janky bar cart down the pavement.
Yes.
The jewelry's jingling all over the place.
Like a true gypsy.
Yeah. But I dressed really cute. Like I looked like I knew what I was doing. Yeah. And so we parked it. There's a Macy's down there. If you're ever in downtown LA, it was right in front of the Macy's. And cool. I said, okay.
We gotta go.
Lunchtime. I'll show you. Next time we're there. Lunchtime, and everyone came down from the buildings. And here I am with my push cart looking fabulous.
Of course.
And I styled the jewelry on people. Mm-hmm. You need this, you need this. And lo and behold, I sold all of my jewelry the first day. So I had $300, which was like...
You're rich.
In 1 hour, $300.
Rich.
I'm rich. And the cops came and kicked me out, but that became a regular occurrence.
Which I love about you. That's very badass.
Very badass. He said, "You can't be here." I said, "Okay, I'll pack it up." And they left and then I set up again.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, then I ended up getting a vendor license.
Okay.
But still, there were all these stipulations that were not legal. So once the cops really got to know me, I was like, shoot, I need to not be set up illegally in downtown LA. So I started selling at the flea markets. There's a really great flea market at the Rose Bowl. I sold the Rose Bowl.
Wow.
Which was fucking freezing. Can I say was fucking it? On our podcast?
Yeah,
because I did.
Sure.
You wouldn't think in California it's cold, but I don't think I've ever been colder to this day in my life than that morning. Yeah, truly. Truly. And the sun came out and it was hot and I was in a tank top. Yeah. So if you're going to go to the Rose Bowl and set up at 3 a.m., make sure you bring a jacket. But, you know, that's what it takes. When I say about starting at 3 a.m., I had a Jetta at the time I shared with my boyfriend, now husband, would jam it in. It's so much work having an idea. Having an idea is only 10% of it.
Yeah.
I think the other 90 is having the balls to do it and working hard to do it.
Right.
It's no joke being a street vendor. I have so much respect for people that sell even, you know, a taco stand on the street. It's 10 times harder to sell mobile than it is to sell in within four walls. So
totally.
It's, you know, yes, have an idea, but expect to work so hard at it in order to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that Kim Kardashian had the right message. She was the wrong person to give that message.
Totally. I agree completely.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
What
did she say?
She told people to, like, get to fucking work. I think essentially it was her message. And, of course, she doesn't have the story that Lindsay has. Like, she had famous parents, she had money, she had celebrity connections. However, she still is a very hard worker. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not discount that, but we also can kind of discount it because of where she came from. Like, she was given advantages other people haven't.
Correct.
But here, you started on the street with $70 to now employing over 50 people yourself, creating my dream career, genuinely. Like, I'm so lucky. And now giving women the opportunity to start that and build that for other women is, the ripple effect is unbelievable. Just from one decision.
From one stupid pushcart decision. One umbrella. I gotta find.
I gotta find the picture.
I'm digging and taking, trying to find a photo of myself at the Rose Bowl freezing. But at the time, the phones didn't have cameras.
Yeah, right. It was digital. Or like film.
Yeah. Oh, God. Film.
Crazy. Wild. You're only 29. But it's all right.
You got it. Thank you, Aaron Aesthetics.
Okay. No, I think it's your... Yeah, I asked you a question. I'll answer that question.
Okay.
What do we got here? Tell me your history of bobbles and lace. Ugh, my history is like embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. So I
love this story so much.
So embarrassing.
But I do have to say, I'm going to give you an intro to this story.
Okay.
So we decided to franchise. This is a whole nother podcast for sure.
Yeah.
But we decided to franchise about 2 years ago. And
we hate the word franchise so much.
Oh, it's so cringe.
Because it's like, yes, it's what we're doing, but like, it's also not what we're doing. We're doing it's something so, cool and sexy and
so
fun.
Cringe. But in going to all of these store openings and training the store owners and staff about bobbles, I used to talk about my story of B&L and how I started. But we had the epiphany probably about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about it. I said, my story is not the story we're going to tell to all of these store owners. The story we're going to tell is Michaela's story, because my story is from the owner's perspective. But I think the magic of B&L is from the client's perspective. And you were the client. Mm-hmm. So I much prefer now we lead all of our franchise trainings with Michaela's story, which is why I'm making her tell the story.
Yeah. And thank you, because it's so exciting to hear, like, I am the Bobbles Babe. Like, I am what this brand is. Really. And it's just such a full circle moment for me to be here and like working here and being best friends. Like, you're one of my best friends, obviously.
You're one of my best friends.
Yay.
Oh.
That's the best. We never said it all out. Okay. So I started shopping at Bobbles and Lace when they opened in Andover. I grew up in North Reading, and I've always been so into getting dressed and fashion and style. When I was a child, just learning to talk, I had to wear party shoes. Always.
Oh, that's very cute.
Patent leather, little heel, party shoes, I would tell my mom. I want to wear party shoes to the park, everywhere. So, like, I was born to wear hoops and heels. Because they were, like, my obsessions. So, my aunt called my mom and was like, oh, this great new store opened in downtown Andover. You have to take Kayla. She's going to love it. And my mom took me. And the girl working there was so pretty. She was like, my ideal woman. I'm straight, but I have an ideal woman. She's petite, she's tan, she has black hair, super white teeth, and is like dressed to the nines. Turns out to be her sister-in-law, Jess. And the first time I met her, my mom was like, you need to chill out. Like, I know what's going on here. I see you. Chill out. Be cool. So I thought, be cool. So I bought the entire outfit she was wearing, all of her David Yurman style bracelets.
She had the mini ones.
Yeah.
The mini David Yurman stack.
Yep. I got Ace. I still have them. They're still in my closet. I will not part with them.
You can
they're
never
like
part with them.
A part of my Bobble sister. I need to put them in like one of those trophy cases.
Yeah.
With a picture of Jess, like a shrine.
Oh, Jess, when you listen to this, please send us your best photo for the shrine.
Yeah, for my shrine, please. Even though I haven't seen you since I started working.
You missed her yesterday.
I always miss her. She comes here and I don't see her. I'm sweating. Anyway, so it was just the most magical experience. Like, I found so many clothes I loved. Me and my mom had so much fun there. So she ended up buying, like, some jewelry and accessories for herself. It was just such a great experience for the two of us shopping together versus, like, going to the mall. She gets hot and thirsty and the music's too loud and, like, all those things that kind of...
You do that too now. You know that, right?
Yeah. I am my mother.
We are our parents.
Yeah, always. And so I just continued coming back, and I moved away for college. I went to school in Virginia to start, which is why. But every time I'd come home, the first stop from the airport would be Bobbles and Lace in Andover. And it was Derek's mom that would help me. We just had so much fun. And it was always, like, when I was in there, I was like, this is the best experience of my life. I want to live here. I want to work here. I want to do this. When I moved to Austin, Texas after college, everything I wore was Bobbles. And people would stop me and I'd be like, Bobbles and Lace. Can't get it. It's not around here.
It's exclusive.
Yep. And when I actually moved home from Austin, I saw that Bobbles was hiring. And I wrote an email to Val, who mm-hmm. was her partner at the time. Mm-hmm. And I wrote this, like, really long psycho email about how I remember when her receipts were handwritten. And that's how long I've been a Bobble shopper. We used to hand...
I didn't do the interview with the hiring, just for the record.
Right, didn't get the job. Long story short, didn't get the job. I was probably too eager. Like, you know when you go on a date with somebody you think is, like, really hot? Yeah. And they're, like, too much? I think I was just too much. I think I was a little too intense. But
it was not the right time.
It wasn't. So then come COVID, I had seen an ad for, like, an open interview with Bobbles. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to shoot my shot. And I'm just going to do it. And I DM'd and I signed it forever persistent, Michaela. And I ended up getting a job. And I started just part-time. And I was like, I'll figure it out. Like, this is so where I'm meant to be and what I'm meant to be doing. Because mm-hmm. I bleed Bobbles and Lace and have forever. And then I ran the Andover store, and then I ran all eight of the stores, and then I started the whole franchising story we'll get into another time. And now I'm Lindsay's vice president, and it's just, like, so beyond meant to be, and I'm so also so obsessed with what I do. But it's really cool to have been, like, a diehard fan to now being in an office with you recording a podcast.
It's incredible.
It's really cool.
I love it.
It's really, really cool. Like, that's my life's pinch me moment. I, like, can't believe it.
You must have known when you applied for that part-time position. It takes just as much bravery to make that choice, you know, well, you knew where it was going to go and you had to follow your instinct in that. I think it's following your instinct is really important. Mm-hmm. It's an important piece to success.
Yeah, for sure. My mom looks back now and she's like, you're incredibly brave.
You are.
Yeah.
Incredibly
brave. It was such a risk, and it just, the reward is I'm still being paid in dividends.
But what's the secret?
Trusting myself and believing in myself.
And like, working just fucking hard.
I do work my ass off. I
do.
I work really, really hard, and nothing comes before Bobbles for me. It's just the best.
It's part of your life, though. It gets interwoven in the best way.
Yes.
If it's something that you love.
Right. When we were actually in Colorado, Lindsay met some of my family. So I have family that lives in Denver, and they came to the Boulder opening, came out to dinner with us, and we're in the car home, and my cousin and her husband are talking about their plans for retirement, when they want to retire, what they want to do. And they're like, Michaela, what about you? And I was like, it's not even on my radar because I love what I'm doing so much. I can't imagine not doing it.
No, I can't either.
No. But how cool is that?
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? What do you mean? This.
I'm doing
this forever.
Did you see that documentary on how people live to be 100, by the way?
No.
Okay, well, one of them is you don't retire.
Well, you have to say, what is that? A body in motion stays in motion.
Yeah, you just do it. And you love it and you do it and it gives you purpose.
Yeah.
So I have no retirement.
I'll be an old hag slinging camis. Here I come.
Unloading a pallet with my cane.
I'm going to do this forever.
For sure.
You guys are stuck with me.
We're stuck. Yeah. We're stuck with each other. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Okay, let me pick.
Let's talk about you.
All right. What makes you the happiest? I'll tell you what makes me the happiest. I love to be with my kids mm-hmm. and my husband. And I love to be not distracted. So this is going to sound a little crazy, but the first 2 weeks of COVID were probably the happiest time of my life, mm-hmm. which I know it was a really tough time for so many people between being sick and, you know, losing their jobs. And there was so much sadness. Mm-hmm. And trust me, as a business owner, there was so much worry and sadness that came probably week two, week three, week four.
Yeah.
But back when I thought it was only a week or two of just being home and stuck inside, I'm secretly a wicked homebody. That was like a really special time for myself and my boys. They didn't have the distraction of school. They didn't, you know, where everything was, life was just put a pause on life and you just lived in the house. That was a really amazing time.
Honestly, I was talking about this with my uncle last night. We were talking about, because he and I got close during COVID. And we're like, oh, we have such fond memories of COVID. It's like, such fond memories.
In the beginning.
Right. No, those first two initial weeks.
2 weeks.
Where we just thought, sweet.
Yeah.
We're going to chill.
That was an awesome time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And what made it awesome is there was no worry.
No.
Or distraction. We're just stuck inside. It was awesome. And I love to be inside. I could be a hermit. I say this. I think if I didn't. If I didn't have baubles, I could easily just be a hermit. I would love it.
I think you would love it.
I would love it.
But you would have to have animals.
Tons of animals.
Yes. You could be a crazy cat lady, but with like all kinds of animals.
Yeah. Especially obviously the furry cows. Give me.
Yeah. You need to long haired cows. Oh,
get in the bed.
Okay. What is a new conspiracy theory you're into? There's so... I love a good conspiracy
theory. I know. She loves a good conspiracy theory.
So much. What is my... I don't know. I'm like deep in the TikTok universe right now of it. I'm just going to talk about a TikTok that I heard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of a conspiracy it is, but it's like been on my mind a lot. It's a TikTok about this woman, and she was talking about how she was like out, and she was at a bar club. And she saw this guy, didn't think he was attractive or anything, but had this super strong urge to tell him her leg hurt. And her leg didn't hurt. And she was like, why do I need to do this right now? This is so random. And she kept like walking.
Her leg didn't hurt?
No, her leg did not hurt. But something in her was like, tell this guy your leg hurts. Tell him your leg hurts. So finally, she's like so annoyed with herself. She goes up to him and she's like, hey, I have no idea why I'm doing this. Isn't this going to sound fucking crazy? I have to tell you my leg hurts. And it doesn't.
What did he say?
I started crying. And he said, thank you so much for saying that. My dad just passed. And before he passed, he told me to know he'd always be with me. And that he will send someone to tell me their leg hurts. And that's how he'll know.
That's unbelievable.
Right? So, like, it's not really a conspiracy theory, but, like, I watched that TikTok, and I was like, I freaking hope this is true. I'm totally going to test this out with someone who's dying.
Oh, God. Not to get into death, but
no,
I think you die, you die.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a whole other podcast.
Okay.
That's a whole other podcast.
So, not really a conspiracy, but sorry, guys. Here I am.
All right, here we are. Okay. If you were to hit on a man, what would your pickup line be? Oh, my God. I would like to think.
It's kind of fun. I think pickup lines are so much fun.
I know what would happen.
Okay.
This is exactly how it would go down.
Okay.
There's a guy in a bar, and there's me, and then I worked.
Are you guys alone in the bar?
No, there's other people.
Okay.
My friends are making me do it because.
You would never do it.
No.
All right.
No.
Which is like pretty true for 99% of women, I believe.
Correct. And I'll play it in my head and I'll run it through 16 times. And because I'm very, let's face it, I'm very an anxious human in general. Mm-hmm. So I have everything running, planned out. I'm going to do it like this. I'll practice it in my head.
Yeah.
I'll go to the bathroom and give myself a pep talk.
Right.
I'll come out and I'll do it. And then I'll get really close to him and I'll fucking fall. Like, I'll fall.
100%.
I fall.
She falls a lot.
I do. I'm really, really clumsy.
Yes.
Super clumsy.
It's the long limbs.
I would never even make it. Something would happen.
Yeah.
There
would be interventions of some sort and it just wouldn't happen.
No.
But they would find that very endearing.
Oh, God.
They would.
No, probably not.
They would. I know they would. Ooh, what is a slut strand? Okay. This is a term that I learned this weekend and it's kind of like what I have going on here. So what's really great about being one of the oldest people at the company is I learn a lot of the young terms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're here to teach you all of them.
Yes. I'm going to continue to teach them because I think that's what keeps you cool is knowing what youth is doing.
So you're learning a lot in this podcast. You're learning about us personally. You're learning a little bit about fashion. You're learning about our icks and you learn what a slut strand is.
Yes. So a slut strand is apparently when you put your hair up or down, like I have with my headphones here, but you have a few pieces, like I see random pieces hanging out. Those are a slut strand.
Okay.
That's a slut strand.
I'm down. So there you go. You're welcome.
Now you know. Your last question.
It's my last question. It is, You're going to go first because I'm choking.
Okay, cool. So my last question, what ocean crustacean do you resemble sometimes? Oh, so crustaceans are like, oh, okay, I know the one. I know the one. I just threw my paper. I know the one. Shrimp. Raw shrimp.
What?
So one day.
You have to share with the viewers.
Yes.
And listeners.
I'm going to tell the story.
Okay.
So I'm a chronic spray tanner. I have been since middle, as soon as my mother spray tanned me. As soon as she allowed me.
How old were you? What's your first school? Middle school.
It was sixth grade, probably. I've always wanted to have black hair and dark skin.
Because of Jess Rando.
Because of like a few other people. We'll get into that later. And I just am a fair-skinned Italian woman. Not fair. Not fair, also. But that's my reality. So we were in a hot tub in Vermont. I wasn't going to ski. But we, like, went to the mountain, got in a hot tub, and I can see the bubbles. Because my spray tan was coming off. So there's brown bubbles.
We were in tan soup.
Right. In tan soup, for sure.
I didn't have a spray tan, and I got out, and I was spray tanned.
Right. I was not. I was raw shrimp. So my natural skin tone, when you get a raw shrimp, it's pink and it's veiny. Like that's
it's like a little blue.
Yeah, it's a little blue, a little pink. That is my natural skin tone. Like it's not a pretty fair skin and halfway. It's raw shrimp.
That makes me cry laugh. Yeah. I cried laugh. And that's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had to make you say it.
I hope people can relate.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Raw shrimp.
Raw shrimp. Here I am.
Exactly. Next time you go to cook shrimp, you're going to pick it up and you're going to get
That's Michaela's ass.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your best pinch me moment? AKA, holy shit, look what I did. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. I want to know. Especially where you say, like, it's hard for you to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get there together for a moment.
I'm going to say I have fleeting moments of it.
Mm.
Fleeting.
Okay.
Okay. So for me, I grew up with not a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a single mom. She worked, she definitely taught me hard work. She would, in the daytime, she was a server at Jacob Marley's. I used to go and help make the salads, which was exciting.
Mm.
And at night, she worked at Trio's Pasta, which is no longer, but we ate a whole lot of pasta.
Yeah.
And it was the refrigerated pasta. That's the good kind. The
fresh stuff.
It's the good kind of peel. Yeah. So, I saw what hard work was. But not growing up with a lot, I think I find a lot of pinch me moments to be able to do things that I wouldn't have necessarily had access to when I was young. The first time I flew first class, that was a wicked pinch me moment that I just never thought would be possible, you know? I one day, I'm not big on expensive designer things.
Yeah.
I'm just not. This is why we have baubles. Everything's under 100. Let's be real.
Yep.
But there was a day that, I walked into Christian Louboutin.
Mm.
I bought a pair of shoes. That was a pinch me moment
that you could take care of yourself.
Could do that. Yeah. That was a big pinch me moment. But then I have other pinch me moments. And as I said before, they're these fleeting pinch me moments because I'm still, I don't believe my success yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet. Mm. But I always want the next. But there was, I think, our last Christmas party when I looked out and I have 8 stores and we had our franchisees there for the Christmas party. So to look out in the crowd and see just all the faces of people whose lives that, I can change and touch, and give the gift of baubles, but also entrepreneurship for some, I think is really special. So that was really cool just to look out and see the faces looking up at me, and of course I panicked and probably had to run to the bathroom.
Right,
because with that many faces, it's not my thing.
Right.
I can do great with you and me in a podcast, but with 60 faces,
you feel
more.
Pressure.
Yeah, no thank you, not my bag. But that was a big moment too, where I'm like, wow, this is really, really amazing.
It is.
But they're fleeting.
Yeah. But even those, just to know those small moments and those small accomplishments, are a big deal, I think is great. And yeah. Something people forget. Like, just look at the small things and appreciate maybe the daily happenings of your life that you might not have thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know I'd be here at Bobbles doing what I'm doing in this role.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. But what's next?
What's next? Well, we're a podcast. And here we are.
So we love some suggestions on things you want to hear about.
Yeah.
We love your suggestions on who you want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to introducing you to some of our franchisees who have began their journey with us.
Yeah.
And some of our Bobbles All-Stars that you know and love.
Mm-hmm.
And also some other female entrepreneurs that are connected to us in various ways. We'd love to introduce them to you and kind of hear their story and their path and their icks.
Yeah.
And have some fun.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's the plan.
Yeah. That's us.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the first episode of Bobbles After Dark. We look forward to seeing you next week with a special guest. So stay tuned and we will catch you on the flip side.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.